messed up before I leave. Amen. Thank you very much for that. Thank you. I don't know what's the name of that speech. Thank you all. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Psalm 94. While you're in that, giving unto God the Father, to Jesus the Son, to the Holy Spirit, who is assuredly present with us.
Amen.
To our pastor, the Reverend Dr. Harold Sylvester Stinger. Our first lady, the only lady, Sister Stinger. To my lovely wife, Sheila, of 27 years and counting. Amen. To the choir, who has done such a marvelous job. Amen. Thank God to the musicians and all those who are working with the choir, to my fellow sufferers in the gospel. Our assistant pastor, to the deacons, to the deaconess, to the trustees, to each of you God's children. And all of you are important in God's eyes and are in mine. So I thank you for being here, because you could have been anywhere else but. And to our young choir, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yes. What a surrenderance. Yes. Wow, we had a church of folks that just said yes.
My Lord.
Yeah, we come in here and tear this thing up and be out of here in about 15 minutes. We got to stay in a little bit longer because it takes so long to get us started.
Amen.
Just say yes. Come in saying yes and then see what happens. Psalms 94. We begin our reading at 16, at number 16. Psalms 94, 16. Excuse me, 16. And the reason I'm reading from the King James Version. Who shall rise up for me against this evildoers? And who shall stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Mm-hmm. Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I said, my foot slipped, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up.
Mm-hmm.
In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comfort delight my soul.
Yes,
I want to go back to 17. Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt inside. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? God, we thank you for just being God.
Yes, God.
And God all by yourself.
Thank you.
We thank you for the opportunity to be able to receive your words and songs and prayers and now through your priest's word. Father, we pray now that you would open our eyes that we can see, our ears that we can hear, our hearts that we can understand. You said you were sent forth your earth, for the earth would not return to you void. Use me as a messenger to deliver your word. Now do so, Lord, open, allow me to be hid behind the crevices of your cross within. And none of me is seen, but only you, and you get the glory.
Yes, yes.
This is our prayer today in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. As a second scripture, I will be reading and have you mark in your Bible, Ecclesiastes 3, 1 and 7. It says, through everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under the heavens. And verse 7 says, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak.
Yeah.
Today for a subject for a little while, and I won't keep you all inside of 1 o'clock, I want to talk to you from the subject, there is a time to be silent and a time to speak.
Yeah.
I said there is a time to be silent and a time to speak.
All right. Yeah.
That's what the Bible says, amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, what time is it?
What time is it?
Is it time to talk?
Time to talk.
Or is it time to be quiet?
Time to talk.
Neighbor, other neighbor, what time is it?
What time is it?
Is it time to speak?
Time to speak.
Or is it time to be silent?
Time to talk.
I know some of y'all thought I was going to say shut up, but I wouldn't do that. We have kids in the house. I was just like doing a side. I was sitting here watching, what's your sister's name? She was just, if you all saw Alicia earlier when they were singing and she was moving to the music, she was all inside of it. I mean, she was so deep. I was just cracking up because she had some moves. She even got to a point where she started covering her eyes and doing one thing. We could just get a little free about this thing. Is that right?
Amen.
There is a time to keep silent and a time to speak. When I was growing up, grown folks had this saying about kids. He said, kids are meant to be seen.
I heard.
Oh, some of y'all grew up in the same area. In other words, you know, you could not walk into a grown-up conversation.
That's right.
You walk into the room where grown-up was sitting, all of a sudden it got quiet.
Yeah.
And everybody started looking at you.
Yeah.
Crazy, I might add.
Wonder
what's going on. There's a time for you to speak.
That's
And there's a time for you to keep silent. When you're in the midst of grown folks, there's a certain, you know, you got to be careful as a kid. When I was growing up, what you said to grown folks.
Yeah.
When you said to grown folks, I'm double checking. When we said to grown folks, you had to put a handle on their name. Mr. and Mrs. Or, yes, ma'am and no, ma'am. I mean, there was courtesy. You could just, you said, yep.
Yeah.
To a grown folk, you get your chest knocked out. You might get stabbed by somebody you don't even know. When I was growing up, I'm just saying. I'm trying to figure out what is the substitute when you say someone says something and you say, you ask them a question and you say, what? I mean, she didn't say that thing, what? I mean, I don't remember what the substitute was, but I just did, that word was not in my vocabulary. When a grown folk asks you something, what?
Yes, ma'am.
That's right. I don't know. Yes, ma'am seems to fit with everything, doesn't it? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. But you what? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Think about this for a minute. There is a time we have become so cavalier in the way we approach things that with kids nowadays and grown folks who they say anything they're big enough to do whenever they want to say it. Even as Christians, I need us to understand that there's a time when we need to talk and there's a time when we need to be quiet. I know you've been a Christian for a long time, but even that, there comes a time when you need to talk, and there's a time when you need to be quiet. The psalmist in our particular passage, he recognizes the fact that vengeance belongs to the Lord. So he called on the Lord to wreak vengeance on the proud people who had instantly oppressed the righteous. In verse number 1 and 7 of our particular passage, he prayed for vengeance. In verse number 8 and 5, look what it is, he warned the wicked of God's judgment. See, in our passage, he first of all began to pray. Y'all need to read that prayer. He prayed that the Lord take care of his enemies.
Yeah.
And then in verse 8, he picked it up again to warn his enemies that you know God is going to judge you. Isn't that something? You have a confidence in God enough that when you pray, you know you're going to get an answer, that you can go ahead and tell the folks who bother you better watch out.
Yeah. Come on,
preacher. See, it's good to have a connection with the Lord so that when you pray, you know you're going to get that. He finds himself, however, in our text in verse number 16 and onward, he begins to talk about his own situation and God's consolation. He begins to look at it and say, Lord, I need somebody to help me.
Yeah.
And I can't get anybody to come to my rescue.
Yeah.
Today, before Satan arrests you and then you find yourself locked up and you can't get out, before you find yourself lost for words, I want to just consider two things. One, there's a time to keep silent.
Yeah.
Number two is there's a time to break the silence and to speak. All right? First of all, a time to keep silent. There is a time to keep silent. Verse number 16 and 17. Who shall rise up for me against this evildoer? Or who shall stand up? Look what it said. Stand up for me against the workers of iniquity. Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost fainted in silence. In verse 16, the psalmist, full of anxiety and trouble, he deeply impressed by his sense of danger, he began to anxiously look for help for somebody. He began to ask with deep concern, would somebody stand up on my behalf and defend me? Have you ever been in a situation where you knew you were right? And you needed somebody to say something on your behalf? And nobody said anything?
Y'all
probably going to say nothing to me. I saw it, but I saw Sister Samuel, and I grabbed that real fast. In his distress, he sought for help, and he found none. No friend, no family, no frenemy, no faithful follower, no fighter, no fellow sufferers, no fellow man, no flock, no fold. He found no help. I need somebody to stand up for me now because, I mean, you've been living with me all this time. You know who I am and you know what I do and how I do. You mean you can't even say a word?
On
my behalf?
Amen.
You can't say anything. Now, here's the thing. When you've been doing good, And still, nobody can say anything, not even the people you've been trying to help.
Come on.
I wonder why y'all think about that for a minute. Instead of allowing, however, his mouth to write a check that his body couldn't cash.
Come on.
You ever been so angry, though, that you wanted to say something you couldn't? You ever been so mad at somebody? You know, I'm gonna use you, young folks. Y'all can just say, don't say amen. Just wave your hand. You ever been so uptight with your parents, but you know you can't say what you want to say? You about to choke on your own tongue. This is what it's. Don't Don't look at your children now. This is where he found himself in a situation. He wanted to say something, but he couldn't say it. And so instead of saying something that would make matters worse that he would regret, instead of letting his mouth get him deeper into trouble, the song bit his tongue and got quiet. You been in the summers on Summer Street? You been on this street? So you have some idea how the summers felt. He really needed to say something.
Yes, sir.
But nothing he could say himself would help his situation.
Yeah.
So he sought help from somebody else.
Okay.
You would think that somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. If I get in trouble, I know y'all. Somebody. Gonna come to my rescue.
Yes, sir.
You did it before?
Yeah.
You'll do it again? No, you didn't.
I'm just saying.
The preacher said in Ecclesiastes 3, he said, there's a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak. Some of us are talking when we ought to be quiet.
That's right.
Let me help you out. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 12 said, and that you study to be quiet, that you do your own business and work with your own hand as we command you, that you will walk honestly towards those that are without and that you have lack of nothing.
Yeah.
So we got to study to be quiet.
Yeah.
Some of us, and do your own business, he said. Mm-hmm. See, some of us talking about everybody else's.
Come on, preacher.
Business. You need to be quiet. I know you know their business, but I don't need to know their business. If they wanted me to know their business, they would have told me their business. But because you know their business, that means you're inside. You're on the inside track. Stay inside and don't bring it outside.
That's right. Preach.
Some of us don't know that we got to give an account for every word we speak. Matthew 12. 36, 37 said that every outer word that men shall speak shall give account of in the day of judgment. So you think that you can talk about me as much as you please?
Yeah.
And forget to talk about me when you bend your knees?
Yeah.
That God's going to be pleased?
Yeah.
That was almost a wrap right there. I'm not going to be a wrap right there. There were three rhymes right there in a row. That was kind of tight. I'm on reflection. That was kind of tight. When we're facing our hardship, we need to heed the words of the psalmist in Psalm 31:9. He said, I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with the bridle while the wicked is before me. In other words, I'm going to be careful what I say when I'm in a difficult situation.
Come on.
Some of us, the first thing we do when something happens to us is we say what we feel.
Come on.
Or we say, you ever stump your toe?
Yeah.
I know everybody say, James said, the mark of a perfect man is one who doesn't offend in words. James 3 and 2. But here, sometimes we need to be careful. Be like the psalmist. Check our words. Don't just say what comes to your mind. Because your mind hasn't been holy all day.
Come on.
So I know they might know you, but you know we can hurt people real bad with what we say. So we need to be careful with what we say. Sometimes it's just good just to be quiet.
Amen.
In our text, the psalmist's situation was so dark, he said, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. He had gotten to, some of you said you've been on the street. He had gotten to a situation so deep and so dark that just a little more pressure. And he would have shut down forever. Just a little more of what he was going through, and he felt like he would have died. If he had suffered any longer, he felt like he wasn't going to make it. He was on the street. He was at his wit's end. He had drawn his last straw. He had did everything he knew he had to do or to say, and nothing had come right. In his life, he felt like it was at the end of his road.
Yeah.
And he said, I almost dwelt in silence.
Yeah.
I know some families, members, who don't talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how you get to a point in a relationship with somebody who's your blood that you don't speak to, I don't really understand. But I'm saying I know some people who are like that.
That's right.
Now, that's the problem, because here's somewhere this psalmist had gotten to a point in this situation with these folk that he had decided that, look, I'm just not going to even say anything. Mm-hmm. You see people quiet in the church, you got to wonder why they quiet. I still have to be around you, but I ain't got to say nothing to you.
So wrong.
I like this one. I gotta love you, but I don't have to like you.
Something wrong.
No, figure out how you sort that out. I'm just figuring out how you sort that out. Then he had gotten to a situation here in this relationship with these difficulties, people doing wrong to him that he had decided. He had said, I almost.
Almost.
I almost stopped praising God. I almost got to church, and when they said to him, man, I almost didn't say amen.
Come on, preacher.
Y'all gonna get me in a minute. Young people, church, I don't know what you've been through, but maybe the timing of this promise is right, because sometimes it is necessary that we find ourselves quiet and not talking. Because, see, sometimes when our situation is so difficult, if we open our mouth, we're going to insert our foot. So it's better sometimes just not to say anything than to say the wrong thing. See, we don't need your negativity. See, because, see, you know what happens? Negativity draws from a narrow focus. When you can't see the end of a thing, it's the thing that you're in that seems the end as it is. So the best thing that you do, since you don't know the end, is just keep quiet. Don't bring your negativity. Stop talking negativity. See, some of us in a good place, but it seems bad only because we want it to be better. Some of us have never satisfied. You got the best house, you live in the best offices where you got to eat the best food, you're in the best environment, and yet you want more.
Come on.
I want more. You saw the commercial. I want more because we want more. More because we want more. Well, we don't want because we want more, and we want just want more. Because that's because we're Christians, and Christians, we want more. You got enough. If God never does anything else for you,
amen.
We got enough. Yet we want more, and because we want more, it seems our good situation seems bad. We're in a good place, but it seems bad only because we haven't recognized that we are not alone, that God said he'd never leave us. No, we're mistaken. Some of us are in a good place, but it seems only bad because we've not recognized that it is a point of transition and not a point of residence. Let me make that plain. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I didn't come to stay in and to the death, but I just coming through. You're going through a hard time to get to your destination. You think that you're going to always be on the easy street? Everything's got to go right for you to be a Christian. Seriously? We're fussing about being in the valley when we got to go through the valley to get to the mountaintop. We need to have the right attitude in the valley. Because it's just a transition.
Yes,
it's not our residence.
Yes,
so when we go to the valley, there might be somebody in the valley. So instead of you sharing your negativity with somebody in the valley, why don't you tell them God is good while you're in the valley? But you're not getting it while you're in the valley. We're on our way out of here. It's just a transition. Elijah, sometimes God has to use our situation to get our attention. Elijah, he said, he came, there was an earthquake, there was wind, and there was a fire. I was looking for the Lord, but sometimes we're in a situation where there's so much noise around us, we can't hear him, and so he kind of, see, allows certain things to happen to get our attention. So the earthquake came, he said, but he wasn't in the earthquake. The wind came, he said, but he wasn't in the wind. He said, the fire came, but he wasn't in the fire. But see, when all that stuff happened, all of a sudden, you listen attentively to what else might happen next. And so, but he said, then there was a still, small voice. And guess whose voice that was? And sometimes God uses the earthquake, wind, and the fire just to get our attention. So when he speaks in a small voice, we can hear what he's saying. Hey, we get so busy, we forget that God is God, and that God is still in control. So he said, I got to stop you for a minute. I got to get your attention for a minute. I got to get you down for a minute so that you can look up.
Come on.
Elijah, there's a time, church, to keep silent. If I get quiet enough, I can hear God's still small voice. Even though I'm quiet because I'm frustrated, I'm quiet enough to hear God's still small voice. Sometimes just don't start talking negative talk around you. I know you saw it, and I know you probably have some idea of what it is and why it is. You may even know all the details about it, but keep that to yourself.
That's right.
You know, nobody asks you. No one really asks you anyway, because I don't know why you're sharing in the first place. No one even said, let's have a church meeting, tell the whole story. Why are you sharing? Because you want to feel like you're important? Well, keep it to yourself and be powerful. Because information by itself is power. Yet there is a time, the pastor says, to speak. In verse 17 through 19, something happened in the psalmist. Like he said, unless the Lord had been my help. Look at that. What he said. Unless the Lord had been my help. See, I was looking for help for somebody else. But then I said, unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt inside. Look, two things happened. When I said, my foot slipped, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. And the multitude of my thoughts within me, they comfort, delight my soul. Let's talk about it. The psalmist reviewed this situation. And he concluded that if he had not had a God who could have been there for him, if he had mind had been directed away from God, if he had not looked to the hills from whence coming his death, if he had not actually found God to be his refuge in this, if he had not found himself looking towards the Lord, he would have been in despair and kept silent all his life. But he didn't. He realized something, that he realized that if he cried out for help while his friends were not there, while his relatives were not there, while his foes would not help him, no one came to his rescue. God never left him.
That's right.
Then I know y'all say this, that y'all talking about, he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. But the psalmist realized he never left. Y'all hear what I say? You talking about he may not come when you want him, but the psalmist said he never left. I love a God that you know, he could come and might get, he you know, if he got to come, he might be late. But if he's already there, I'm saying, if he's already there, all he has to do is just act. I mean, you can wait till the last minute to act when you're already there. But if you got to get there, if I got to call you and wait 3-4 days for you to get here, then I got to explain the situation when you get here. Then some one of these times you're going to mess around and be too late. But we serve a God who is an on-time God. He's a right-now God. He's a present God. He called him omnipresent. He never leaves you. So he's always right there.
That's right.
That's some good news for somebody, because somebody's serving a God and don't mind serving somebody trying to hide from him. Hebrews 13:6 said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. That's the kind of God that we serve. He said he's a right now God. He's there with us. He remembered how God had been his refuge and his strength. And the psalmist began to change his optic on life. Instead of deciding to keep silent, he said, wait a minute, I can't keep quiet on God. Let me bear myself out. The first thing he remembered, how God had kept him, and that is how he brought him. He said, when I said, my foot slipped, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. Held is a past tense word, meaning it happened in the past. He said, God, when I think about the goodness of the Lord and all he's done for me, see, when he began to look, he said, my foot slipped into ruin and despair, but God's mercy held me up. He kept me from falling. He defeated the desire of those who had consulted to cast me down. He said, they meant it for my evil, but God meant it for my good. It didn't look good for me. In fact, everything seemed to be torn apart, but God worked all things together for, y'all hear what I'm saying? He worked all things together for my good. He remembered how God had held him up and how God had brought him from a mighty long way. It's something when you're in a difficult situation, when you can look away from the situation and look to God. How often in life have you been sinking deep in sin? How your strength almost gone? How you fell all alone and you were going to die? But somebody say, but God.
But God
in his mercy and his power interposed and he saved you. But God looked beyond your faults and saw your need. But God looked and took your extremity and made his opportunity. God uses amazing grace to save a wreck like you
But God
took you out of the muck and the miry clay and placed your foot on a rock to stay. How many of you have experienced the but God experience? You're there and you're about to keep silent, but God. And when I look back and see, wait a minute, he's not doing it right now. But I told you, if he did it before,
he'll do it again.
When God did this for you, what was it? Was it time for you to keep silent? When God brought you out, was it time for you to keep silent? I said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself. Let me do a check. I need to do a census check to find out if anybody been on the street. Has God brought you from anywhere? You who have been brought from somewhere by God, I got a good group in here. He said, there's no need to keep silent. I mean, I don't have to chill each other. There's no need to keep silent. If God has done something for you, you just ought to just give him his word. worth the prayer. Now, let me think about this for a minute. If for those who may not raise their hand, and for whatever reason, I need to offer you something and let you know, even if you didn't raise your hand because you couldn't remember when God did something for you, let me remind you of when he did. He said, well, he that had breath.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Because he gave that to you. I'm just saying. So if you're missing what he's done, if you're here in this congregation today and you're sitting, God.
Yeah.
It is but God.
Yeah.
Or if it could have been anything else. But God allows you to be here. And the second thing he knows, he realized that not only had God brought him, but God was keeping him.
Yeah.
In the multitude of his thought, he said, within me, thy comfort delight my soul. He looked at his current situation. He said, right now, I'm delighted in my soul, not about what God has done for me, but if I think about it, what God is doing for me. He realized that God was not only active in his past life, but he was active in his present life. Now, hear me now. This summer is what is the most difficult situation, but even still, he found a way to recognize God for who he was.
Yeah.
He realized that God was just not a past God, or a past time God, or a grandmama God, or a grandfather God, but that he was a present God. David declared, he said, I was young, but now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor God's seed begging bread. We serve a right now God who is present and active in our lives, and we ought to get excited about the God that we serve. Do you understand that the God that you serve is active in your life right now?
Yeah.
See, some of us are looking for stuff that's way too much. We're looking for way too much. You ask God for way too much. You ain't never had it, you ain't gonna never get it, and you need to stop looking for stuff that's way too much. You want God, you want to get your leg broken in 15 different places, and God to just immediately see it flopping around, and then God, pat out, heal out. You want the red for the muscle. I mean, you need to start with where God is already acting. Like, you sitting here breathing, you in your right mind, you ought to tell him thank you. You got things on your table, you ought to tell him thank you. You got clothes on your back, you ought to tell him thank you. Stop asking him way too much. You got way too much anyway. In fact, truth is, God has done way too much, and we ought to just tell him thank you. Because he's worthy to be praised. And if we take our minds off of our situation and put our minds on the Lord, Paul said this way of living. He said, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, if it's just, if it's pure, if it's lovely, if it's of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, he said, think on these things. Stop thinking about negative things. Put your mind on the Lord, and you'll find it. He said this way in Philippians 4:7. He said, thou will keep in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on me. If you put your mind on the Lord, some of this stuff you're dealing with, you won't be dealing with anymore. So I told a story in the rap session on the other night about focus. We were talking about focus. And I learned how to mow the lawn. I've been mowing the lawn since I was before 9 years old. Mm-hmm. I used to mow cemeteries, and I used to joking about how, you know, I would push that lawnmower around that tombstone. You don't know what's going to jump out. Because, you know, snakes jump out, and, you know, and I got a big lawnmower. It was push mower. It wasn't like an automatic, you know, walk with it. It was push mower. So you push at him. Ain't no guarantee what you're going to get, though. You make If you make your best effort, that's all I'm saying. But I learned, I used to mow with precision, and I was proud of the work that I would do. And so what I do, I get that, take that first line straight as I can get it. And then the next time, what I do, I go down that line, the second line, I just follow that line that I made, just follow that line. And I keep, this way you keep all straight lines. But I realized something, that when I would mow looking at the line right next to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so my focus would be on staying even with the line. And then when I would get down to my destination down there, I would look back and I realized I wasn't as straight
come on,
as I should have been.
Yes, sir.
But I was looking at the situation right here next to me, trying to keep it right here on this line. Well, if that line is not straight, and I'm trying to stay with that line, then the line that I'm going to, y'all make sense? The line that I'm going to actually come up with, it's not going to be straight either. And as much as I try to stay with that straight line, I'm going to start to deviate off. But what I learned was, this is the way I'm going now. I look at where I'm going.
Yeah.
I never look at where I am.
Yeah.
I just keep going where I'm going.
Come on.
All the way. Yeah. So if you keep your eye on the prize, put your mind on the Lord. Even when I find myself, when I look down, even though I'm trying to look close, it's just too close. I start thinking that this is where I'm supposed to be. I get caught up in stuff right here, and that line gets crooked. And if I mess around in this walk and get out of line,
yes, sir.
You're going to cause somebody to stumble. If you get caught somebody to stumble, you're running a race. Run that you may win the prize.
Yeah.
Stay in your lane.
Yeah.
If you don't focus and keep your eye on the prize, you're going to fall out out your lane.
Yes,
if you get out your lane, you're going to disqualify, get disqualified, or just get somebody, you're going to have to give an account. But focus on the prize. When you look at the prize, all of a sudden, you don't even see the stuff that you're passing by. You don't get caught up in stuff that don't matter. You're worried about that big old thick lump of grass that's in front of you. Just keep on focusing. Hey, just keep on mowing. He'll cut it. The kind of God that we serve, he'll cut it. You just keep your eye on the prize. Life is full of challenges. We're going to have trials and tribulation, disappointments and doubt. There's going to be setbacks and sit down. There's going to be persecution and distress. There's going to be famine and nakedness. There's going to be perils and swore. But the truth of the matter is, every day we're going to go through something. We're going to be kind of that sheep before the slaughter. They're going to call us everything but a child of God. We're going to call for help and we're not going to receive it. There's going to be time we're going to go through some things. But we need to keep our focus and not get quiet, but give God his word and praise. Into every life, a little rain must fall. I guarantee it. But if you want to grow a plant, you got to have some rain. Why do we want it to be so comfortable, Christians? Why do we want everything to be perfect? Who said that this was going to be easy?
Yes.
Jesus didn't say it. He said, you want to follow these that foxes have holes. The birds of the air have their nest, but the son of man has nowhere to lay his head. But you can come on. If you want to reign with me, you got to suffer with me. You got to understand you're going to go through something. You must stop complaining and begin to give God his word to praise. And don't stop talking. Just keep on walking.
Yeah.
So we walk by faith and not by sight. It ain't about what you see. It's about what you're going to be. You may not have shoes, but you ought to give God thanks that you have feet to see. You may not have the clothes that you want, but tell God thank you because you got some clothes. You may not have the car you want to drive, but just tell him thank you because it ain't just patent thin, but I got binettes. The weather may not be going the way you want to go, but thank God you got an umbrella. You may not have the condition you want, but this joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Young people, church, we got to begin to allow God to be in control and give God his worthy praise. Stop trying to handle it yourself, and don't be quiet because it's not going your way. Stop pouting. Anybody seen a Christian pout? I've seen some Christians pout. Let me tell you what they look like, just in case you happen to look like it. You don't want to look like it. You want to put on the front. They come into church and they won't say nothing.
Come on, preacher. Come on.
They ain't going to say nothing to nobody and for no reason and nothing. You say amen, I ain't amen in today.
Come on, preacher. Come on.
I ain't up for all that today. You know, they come in and they sit on the pews like that's what God called them to do. Like there ain't nothing else in the church to be done but sit on the pew. They only come on Sundays.
Come on, sir. Come on.
And that's not every Sunday. I'm just saying. If you get the field, just take the field and get on by it. I'm not supposed to grab two. That's a deal and pill. That's two in a row right there. We got to understand that our silence, when we get silent at a church, we grant consent. I'm going to close here in a second. We allow things to happen in our silence that shouldn't happen under God's umbrella.
Amen.
Thomas Jefferson said, all tyranny needs to gain a foothold is for people of good conscience to remain silent. See, when stuff is going on around you and you get quiet and you don't tell it or you don't speak up or you don't show folks a different way, then what happens, your silence is allowing or granting consent to that action. If you come to church and all of a sudden you get quiet because ain't nobody else saying amen, then you're saying it's okay not to say amen. When you get quiet because we should be praising God and then nobody's praising God and you don't praise God too because nobody's praising God, you granted consent to the fact that God is not worthy to be praised. So I'm saying that we need to think about our behavior and be careful when it's time to be silent because it's not time to be silent on God. Ezekiel said it this way. He said in Ezekiel 3:17, he said, Son of man, I made thee, y'all, and this all of us, a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word of my mouth and give them warning for me. When I say to the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest them not warning, nor speak it to warn the wicked of their wicked ways to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, and his blood shall be required at thine hand.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a watchman on the wall, and God gives you something to say, don't you sit quietly by and not say what God gave you to say. Because if you're in your silence, you're better than consent to that behavior. And I guarantee you, you're going to give account in the last day. The world needs somebody to let the world know that we are more than. Did y'all hear what I say?
More than.
I said we're more than conquerors. What does that look like? Me. You. We're more than conquerors. I know it's difficult. I know things are going crazy. I can't understand the shooting this week. I can't understand the shooting. I don't understand what's going on in the world. But I know we're more than.
Yes, sir.
It doesn't change our state. You know what's happening under this umbrella of God? It's not. It's happening. It doesn't take anything from God. But we're still more than.
Yes.
But we got to do something if my people
yes.
put your call by my name. Yes. Don't sit silently by and let everything happen and just you know, you don't. I, well, it got nothing to do with me. Really? Really not. Really? We're here in the church together. And I'm going to close. We need to understand that what we say or don't say has an impact. So we need to ensure that we're saying the right thing and not saying the other thing.
That's right.
See, we're so busy and quick to say stuff to get off our chest, but not as quick to give God the praise.
Yeah.
I don't need you to get stuff off your chest, but give God some praise. See, if you can start give God some praise, God will get some stuff off your chest. Silent. People try to keep you quiet, but I need you to understand that you need to speak up because God, He deserves your praise.
Yes. Yes.
Jesus, Mary's baby, He knew that, well, there was a time to keep silent as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You remember when they were starting marching to the judgment hall and asking to say something? Somebody sang a song about it, said he didn't say a mumbling word. He stayed quiet. Why was he quiet? Because of me and you. He died on our behalf.
Yes.
But even Jesus knew when it was time to say something. They beat him. They scorned him. They hung him on the cross.
Yes.
But you know what?
Yes.
He had the last word.
Yes.
I heard him say, it's finished.
Yes.
It's finished. Yes. Father, into thy hand I command my spirit. It's finished.
Yes.
Even Jesus knew it was time. He said, Father, he first said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Yes. Church is a time to speak.
Yes.
And there's a time to keep silent. Let's make sure we don't get the buckets confused.
That's right.
Let's be quiet on issues of life. And let's not be silent on the Lord.
On.
Let's be quiet on the problems we're going through.
Yes.
And let's speak up when it comes to the Lord.
Yes.
Let's stop talking about the problem and start talking about the God who will
yes.
solve the problem.
Yes.
Let's stop lifting up our issues when God begin to lift up God who can resolve our issues.
Yes.
Let's just give God some praise
yes.
because he's worthy to be praised.
Yes.
How do you know he's worthy? Well, I don't know about you, but the change of my life one day. But the master of my stuff is he heard my distress and cry. From the waters he lifted me. Now saved am I. I said I wasn't going to tell nobody. I tried to keep it to myself. But when something is this good to you, it's hard to just keep it to yourself. It's hard to not tell somebody about that man from Galilee that came down through 42 generations who died for a wreck just like me.
Yeah.